thinking about the meetings and what you have mentioned on this week. They've been a blessing.
Amen.
But this morning while I was getting ready, I got to thinking, the meetings are half over, you know. And I went, you know, and I thought, no, says, that's not, you know, that's not right. We've got to go get some more joy and praise. The old saying, pessimist says that the cup's half empty, and the optimist says, no, it's still half full.
Amen.
You know? And I got to thinking, and I've really gotten hold of praise, I think.
Amen.
Much more in these meetings than I ever have before.
Amen.
I feel like my cup's just half full after I got to thinking about it. You know, and I want to fill it up.
Amen. And
why don't we sing 86?
Amen.
Amen. In the midst of
Amen.
And it says in verse 16 that there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people. And I was thinking about the example it gives there, you know, Israel, when they came out of Egypt and the Lord parted the waters of the Red Sea, and they went out to that Red Sea, you know, and it says there shall be a highway. And I'm thinking with a highway. I'm thinking there's a way for me to get out of Egypt.
Amen.
I'm thinking the way that God provided to get me out of Egypt. I couldn't get out of it myself. Amen. I was in bondage there and I couldn't get out.
Amen.
But praise God, he provided the highway so I get out of that world and I could be saved. And I'm thinking without a highway. And then it says, highway for the remnant of his people. And I think about the remnant, you know, it's a small part. And this world is an immense world. I mean, talking to a lot of people. And God has chosen to save a few people out of this world. He has chosen to save a few out of this world for himself, for his church. And I'm thankful he chose me.
Amen.
I'm thankful that of all the people out there, he chose me as one of them.
Amen.
He didn't have to choose me, and I'm not even anybody else here. There's nothing in me that made him choose me, but he chose to choose me.
Amen.
He chose to save me and to make me part of his church.
Amen.
And I'm thankful that I'm part of that remnant. I'm thankful he chose me to be part of that remnant.
Hallelujah.
And it says in verse 1, chapter 12, and in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee.
Amen.
Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. I'm thankful that now God's anger is turned away from me. I'm thankful that before I was saved, he had anger towards me. He couldn't see me. I was not his child. But now, it says, thine anger is turned away.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, we're no longer sons of this world. We're children
Amen.
Of God. The anger has been turned away. And it says, now comforts me.
Praise
he
Lord.
Comforts me.
Amen.
And it says, behold, God is my salvation.
Amen.
I will trust and not be afraid.
Amen.
For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song.
Amen.
He also has become my salvation.
Amen.
And that's the testimony of a believer.
Amen.
A believer has his trust in Christ.
Amen.
A non-believer, he trusts all kinds of things. I mean, he'll trust his church, he'll trust his religion, he'll trust his baptism, he'll trust a lot of things. But a believer, a Christian, he can say without a shadow of doubt, I trust God in my salvation. I trust him as my Savior. I have no trust in myself. I have no hope in myself. I trust God.
Amen.
I will trust and not be afraid. Therefore, with joy shall eat your water,
and
it was a salvation.
Amen.
You know, I see it in two ways. Any lost person out here tonight, there is water in that well.
Amen.
You can draw water in that well if you're seeking something that will satisfy. There's water that can quench your thirst.
Amen.
If you're out there seeking for something that will quench your thirst, and you've tried all things, you've tried everything, there's one that you haven't tried. And that's the well of salvation. That's Jesus Christ, the spring of living water.
Amen.
He is the well. And he will quench your thirst forever, eternally. But then also, I think about a Christian, you know, the water you need to live in this life is in Christ.
Yeah.
You can't find any kind of water out there.
That's right.
I was thinking of the verse in Psalm 63, I think it is. Or maybe something, I'm not sure where it is. Anyway, it says, my soul thirsts for thee in a land where no water is. Dry land where no water is. And I was thinking the other day, you know, that the world out there has nothing for me. There's no water out there. I mean, you go out there every day to work and whatever you do, and you're in a dry and thirsty land. If you're looking to find something that will lift you up out there, there's nothing out there. There's nothing that can comfort you. Nothing that will lift you up. Nothing that will lift you up spiritually. Like we have the brother in Leon, Francisco. He's got a little discouraged, you know, and we've told him, brother, the only way you'll make it, the only hope to make it as a Christian is with the church. Because nothing out there will satisfy you.
Amen.
Nothing out there will lift you up. All that out there
Amen.
Is just vanity.
Amen.
Just put you down
Amen.
And depress you.
Amen.
But thank
Amen.
God for the well of salvation.
Amen.
We can go there and get water out of there. When we're down and we're discouraged, we can go down there and get water out of there and
Amen.
Be lifted up. There's water in that well. And you can get it out of there. With joy, you shall draw it out. And it says, in that day, so you say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name. declare his doings among the people, may mention that his name is exalted.
Amen. Lord Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Upon his name.
Amen.
Declare his doings among the people.
Amen.
We can spend days upon days declaring his doings among the people. He's like, he's standing with the people here tonight. And we can stand up. And I imagine if we can just think about it, we could spend hours, each one of us, declaring his doings among us. Declaring what he's done in our lives, what he's done in our family, what he's done in our ministry, what he's done for us in our life. We can declare his doings. We just think about it. If we just put away the present things that have been down and think about the things that have been good, we can spend every hours declaring his doings among the people.
Amen.
Make mention that his name is exalted. Now, a lot of people out there mention his name. You go out to any place in this world and you'll find God mentioned, but it's not in a good way. I guess there's sick people still using these words of Christ and God just to fill in spaces. Old Jesus and old God. They're not about God. They're not trying to exalt God. They're just mocking God. They're just using his name to fill in spaces. And that really irks me. But we can use the name of God and exalt his name. We can make mention the name is exalted.
Amen.
We say, praise the Lord.
Amen.
We say, Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
We say, God is good. We don't have to say, oh, Jesus, and oh, Jesus this, and oh, I'm so in bad shape. No, we can say his name is exalted.
Amen.
We can lift him up because he is exalted. He is lifted up.
Right.
Sing unto the Lord, for he has done excellent things.
Yes. Amen.
This is known to all the earth.
Amen.
You know, this morning, when Phil was talking about the animals, you know, and he thanked God for the animals out there. And it says, this is known to all the earth. Look around this earth, and you'll see. He has done excellent things. You'll see in all his creation that he has done excellent things. You'll see here in the church, he has done excellent things. He's taken men out of the miry clay and he saved them, put them on a rock. He's done excellent things for you and for you and for me. He has done excellent things. You just think about it. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of
you. Amen.
We can cry out. We can shout. We have all reason in the world to cry and shout. We have no reason to sit here and then, you know. We can cry and shout. We can say, great is the Holy One of Israel.
Amen.
Amen.
We can shout for joy. We can thank him for what he's done. We thank him, and I thank him for what he's done. I thank him for all that he's done in my life and in my family's life and in the church here and the work in Mexico. We can thank him. We should thank him.
Amen.
Just turn it. Cry and shout.
Amen.
I'm thankful to the Lord for what he's done. And I want to, even after these meetings, I want to declare his doings among the people. I want to keep on making mention of him exalted. I don't have to stop right here. I don't want to make this just an annual thing for 3 days that I stop and praise the Lord. I want to be able to make my life.
Amen.
It's so easy to leave here, go back to your house, you know, and the first day it's you're on a high, you know, just flying. But then, third or fourth day, you know, something happens and on a Monday, so you ain't got nobody to talk to until Wednesday, and you start getting down. You forget about praising the Lord. You forget about thanking the Lord. But I will remember to thank the Lord for all things.
Amen.
I think what the verse read this morning, brother. Thank the Lord for all things.
Amen.
And that's been going on my mind all week. And I can think of several things this week that happened to me that were used to get me down, to make me upset, and it may all be late for a meeting, or something happening, and it throws the schedule off, and it can make you mad. And after it all happened, I thought, you know, I should have been thankful for that. I should have been thankful for those things, just because they were maybe used to try me and to make me stronger. But some of you have the idea, you know, we should thank the Lord in spite of everything. And that's even like talking about steps. You know, that's a step a little closer. Thank the Lord in spite of everything. But thank the Lord for all things is quite different.
Amen.
We can thank him for everything. We can thank him for all the things that happen and thank him and praise him.
Amen.
And I want to exhort you. Exhort one of you and in the same time, y'all can in the same time exhort me, Brother Bill and Brother Mike and Brent and Mexico, all of us together, we can help each other to stay on that high.
Amen.
Stay on that high all through the next year. Oh, there'll be times when you get low, you know, but you start praying when you get high again. You'll go low and you'll go low, but you praise when you get high again. I wanna be on a constant climb. I know there'll be times I go down, but next time I go a little higher, the lower and the higher, I wanna be able to keep on a upward climb all of the year.
Yeah.
And we can do that by praising his name.
Amen.
When you do that by reading verses like this, we read these verses, and that'll get you up. I don't care how down you are, you read these verses, you'll get up.
Amen.
If you read them long
Amen.
Enough, you have to read it 5 times, but you read it, you read it out loud, and you read
Amen.
It with the idea of praise, and you'll get up.
Amen.
Behold, God is my salvation.
Amen.
I will trust and I'll be afraid.
Amen. Amen.
And in that day shall you say, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Call upon his name. We can call upon his name.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise
the Lord.
Praise
the Lord.
Praise
the Lord. You know, talking about the church, it says over there in 1 Peter, verse chapter 2, I'm just going to sort of skip around all through the chapter. The church is an amazing thing. And it's called several different things here in 1 Peter. Matter of fact, it's called 14 different things in the second chapter. I don't know if I want to catch them all. But here's what it says. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, as newborn babes. Isn't that something we're called? Newborn babes.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord. Look also in verse 5. Lively stones.
Amen.
We are lively stones.
Amen.
Now, we're not the stone, but we're alive, man. We are quickened stones. And we are built up a spiritual house.
Amen.
You know, a lot of people can't understand what the church is. Well, we're a spiritual house.
Amen.
It says, and holy priesthood.
Amen.
We are a holy priesthood. Look what else it says, to offer up spiritual sacrifices.
Amen.
We have to be a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Look in verse 9. Ye are a chosen generation.
Amen.
A royal priesthood.
Amen.
We're not only priests, we're kings too.
Amen.
And a holy nation.
Amen.
You know something he says, that the fruit that was going to be taken away from the nation that didn't bring forth the fruits of it, and was going to be given to a nation that did bring forth the fruit.
Amen.
And God says, I'm going to put my laws into their hearts, and I'm going to call them my people, and they're going to call me their God.
Amen.
Alright, it says, we're a peculiar people. That means we're purchased. We've been bought by God.
Amen.
We are a peculiar people.
Praise the Lord.
It says in verse 10, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God.
Praise
we
Lord.
Are the people of God.
Amen.
I know a lot of people don't believe that, but we are.
Amen.
You know, there's a lot of people who think them guys, them crazy guys over there at Oak Knoll. Sorry about that, Debbie. All them guys over there at Oak Knoll, they think they're the only church. They think they're the only Christians. Well, that's not true.
That's right.
We're not dividing ourselves from any other Christians.
Right.
And anybody out there that's part of the church, they're part of us.
Amen.
You don't have a special membership. You don't have to do anything to get into this membership. We are the people of God.
Amen.
Part of them, and there's a bunch more all over the world.
Amen.
This one guy comes up to me. I was in Guanajuato passing out tracts. This fella comes up to me and says, they always use this. You know, the Catholics really like to use this as an argument, how they're the biggest and everybody else is peanuts compared to them.
Yeah.
And they're true in a sense. But he says, how many people? What group are you? So what do you mean, what group am I? You know, what group do you belong to? I said, well, we're Christians. No. He says, I mean, what group are you? I said, well, we're Christians. That's all we are. We're Christians. No. I mean, are you Methodist? No, I said, we're Christians.
Amen.
I said, okay. He said, okay. Well, how many people are in your group? And I didn't really recognize where he was coming from. He says, how many people are in your group? I said, well, what do you mean? I mean, all over the world, all of them together. How many are in your group? I said, oh, man, there's millions in my group. He said, no, in your group. I said, well, what group? Well, you know, the Christians. I said, man, there's millions in Christians. There's millions on the earth, and they're in every country of the world, man. They're all over. They're in the Philippines. They're in the darkest jungles of Africa. They're everywhere. We're the people of God.
Amen.
He's chosen us out of every tribe and nation and tongue and kindred and people, and we're gonna all be up there. You know, that song says, when the roll is called up yonder, I'm going to be filled with joy and wonder.
Amen.
To behold that blood-bought number.
Amen.
Some from every tribe and nation.
Amen.
But are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Don't forget,
Amen.
You are just like them.
Yeah.
So don't forget that.
Amen.
When he said, you know, I was reading old Candlish, and oh, by the way, Candlish is a 5-point Calvinist, but I was reading him on that verse, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2, it says he's the propitiation for our sins, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. He said, one thing you better make sure is you recognize that the propitiation that was done for you, you had to be saved just like anybody else out there had
Amen.
To be saved. They would say it was just like the same exact way. You were part of them. At one time, you were not the people of God.
That's right.
That's what it says right there. At one time, you had not obtained mercy. Don't get too hooked up on what had happened way back there in eternity, to the point that you forget you were just like all
Amen.
Them
Amen.
Right. You were just like all them Jehovah's Witnesses and all them witchcraft people out there. You were just like
Amen.
Them.
Amen.
We have now obtained mercy.
Amen. Hallelujah.
He says, dearly beloved,
Amen.
I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. Yeah. Don't forget that either. You're a stranger and a pilgrim. Somebody says, "But I don't like all you Americans." Hey, well, brother, I'm a Christian first. I'm a Christian first. If you're a Christian, it don't matter. You don't like Reagan, that's fine. I'm not hoping in Reagan. That really isn't, man. That's my advice to all of you people. Get your hope out of the United States. Because, man, it's pretty bad. It's going down. But let me tell you something. My hope's in the Lord Jesus. We're strangers and pilgrims. Then he says over there, let me see if I can find some more. He says in verse 17, honor all men, love the brotherhood. You think about the brotherhood. You know, I've been coming in and out for what now, 10 years. Just coming up from Guatemala, coming up from Guadalajara, coming up from San Luis, coming up from Leon. And you know, all every time I come here, I find the brotherhood.
Amen.
Every time I come here, man, there's a brotherhood.
Amen.
Every one of us are brothers.
Amen.
We're brothers. That's an amazing thing. God's not a grandfather.
Amen.
None of us are uncles and nieces and aunts. And we're all brothers.
Yeah.
It don't matter if you're the oldest out there. You know, there's a lot of people who like to have different levels of brothers.
Yeah.
Well, man, there's no bishop, there's no cardinals, there's no priests, there's no extras, no big shots here, no archbishops. There's no difference between the laity and the clergy. We're all brothers.
Amen.
Don't forget the brotherhood.
Amen.
Don't forget that these people aren't the preachers and these are the listeners. This is the brotherhood.
Amen.
And the brotherhood, all of us become part of that brotherhood.
Amen.
He says, let me see, there's more to it. Look right down there at the very bottom, 25. For ye were as sheep going astray, but now are returned. We are sheep that have returned. You're just a sheep that's returned. You're just one of them lost sheep that he went out and looked and looked and looked till he found that sheep that has returned. Brethren, that's what we are. God put a lot of importance on these, on the actual church, the brotherhood, and he called him all these different things. You do a study on that, man. That's a real blessing to my heart.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Now I return. Praise the Lord for the church.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
You know, just another thought on the church. There's all kinds of views about the church, and I guess one of the worst that I know of anywhere is this idea that some particular group is a church, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a problem with that because the Bible says that Jesus loved the church.
Amen.
Yeah, and gave himself for it. Mm-hmm. That's singular.
Yeah.
He didn't die for any local church or any body of believers anywhere or any denomination. He died for all believers.
Amen.
And together make up the church.
Amen.
And I thank the Lord that I'm part of the church.
Amen.
For the local church. I thank the Lord for this group of believers, for the brotherhood here. But brother, we don't want to forget that we're just a small part of that great thing.
Amen.
It's called the church of the living God.
Amen. Amen. Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you.
He's the head of the church.
Yes.
Praise him.
Praise the Lord. He alone is worthy.
Jesus Christ is Lord.
Turn, if you will, to Isaiah 34. God had laid out some punishments, some prophecies. And I'm not going to go into them. I just want to take one phrase out of what he has to say. Isaiah 34:16. Isaiah 34:16. That's a blessing, brother. I want our source of our blessing is the Holy Spirit of God as he uses the Word of God.
Amen.
You know, all of our doctrine comes from the Word of God.
Amen.
Our songs come from the Word of God. Our assurances come from the Word of God. Our faith is based on the Word of God. Our joy and our praise, all of them are centered in the Word of God.
Amen.
Our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, our experience of his presence,
amen,
all comes from the Word of God. You know, that's just a statement that seek ye out the book of the Lord and read.
Amen.
Isn't that a pretty good idea?
Amen.
You know why some of you haven't grown very much? You haven't sought the book of the Lord and read.
Amen.
You need to seek out the book of the Lord and read. You know, it's amazing how much more of those grow who seek out the book of the Lord and read.
Amen.
I know sometimes that people have said some things to me, and I said, that's not true. And I went home and took my Bible, began to search and search and search. Sometimes I've used a concordance. Sometimes I've just read chapter by chapter by chapter. All the blessings that come to me from seeking out the book of the Lord and reading.
Amen.
You know what it said? No one of these shall fail.
Amen.
Is that a pretty good promise tonight to bank something on?
Amen.
Seek you out the book of the Lord and read. Why? No one of these shall fail.
Amen. Amen.
They keep changing the history books in school.
Yeah.
They keep changing the science books in school.
Amen.
They keep changing the government plans and policies and laws and taxes and all sorts of other things.
Right.
They keep coming up with new ideas and different plans and methods for improving reading or improving government or improving life. Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. Amen.
Amen.
All right, turn over just a little bit further over to Jeremiah 14:9. Again, I'd like to steal a blessing out of the middle of a verse. I don't want to preach the text. I don't even deal with the background. I just want you to notice the statement that was made. It's a blessing to my heart. Lord, O Lord, Thou, O Lord, art in the midst of us.
Amen.
And we're called by Thy name.
Amen.
Thou, O Lord, what makes the difference? What's the difference between reality and religion? What makes the difference with real salvation and the blessing of God and just the religion? Oh, my friend, it's Thou, O Lord, art in the midst of us, and we're called by Thy name. Turn the page over to chapter 15 and look at verse 16. We're looking at the book, and we're looking at the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And listen to what He says. Thy words were found, and I did eat them.
Right.
Oh, we've been having a feast this day.
Amen.
Since Wednesday night, we've been feasting.
Amen.
We've been feasting on the Word of God. We've been feasting on the promises of God. We've been feasting on the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been feasting on the praises of His saints.
Amen.
We've been feasting
Amen.
On the hands, being holy hands, being lifted up, and the shouting of praises unto God Almighty. Brother, we've been feasting.
Amen.
Not only that, we've been feasting on some of the best food in America.
Amen.
You couldn't have gone to the finest restaurants in the country and done any better than you've done this week.
Amen.
And we're going to do it tomorrow again. We've been feasting. We're feasting physically and we're feasting spiritually. It's a time of rejoicing. Oh, my friend, thy words were found. Did you ever find the words?
Amen.
Did you ever find the words? He said, thy words were found and I did eat them. You need to eat the word.
Amen.
Oh, a lot of people dissect the word and a lot of people study the word. A lot of people think they improve the word. What you need to do is eat the word.
Amen.
When my wife cooks me one of her favorite meals, are one of my favorite meals, I do not sit down and dissect it. I don't pull the peas out and describe why they're green and how they got there, how long it took to grow them, and what they're called in the Greek and the Latin and the Hebrew and whatever. I just eat them. Bless your heart. When she lays a steak out there, I don't care if it's a black Angus or it was some other kind of cow. It doesn't make any difference to me. I don't care if it's a cow or a bull or a steer. It doesn't make any difference to me. I don't care what happened to it, whether it was grown this way or that way. I just cut it up and eat it. Amen. Bless your heart. Quit playing around with the Word of God.
Amen.
Learn to praise God. Open the book and eat.
Amen.
You as a Christian need to eat. You be a weak little Casper milk toast wimp if you don't eat well. And you got a spiritual wimp because they never eat the Word of God. They're unhealthy. You can't even put them in the sunlight because it'll wilt them. They don't have any strength in them because they haven't eaten properly. Bless your heart. Take the book of the Lord. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Thy word was unto me. What? The joy and rejoicing. Where do you get your joy and rejoicing? Is it in your circumstances? Oh, no, my brother, I want you to know, if you're looking in your circumstances for joy and rejoicing, oh, you'll have joy some days, and you'll have mourning next days. Oh, you'll be up and down worse than any roller coaster at Six Flags. I want you to know, you'll be flopping up and down here and there. You'll get up on that cliffhanger, and your whole stomach will drop right out from under you. It'll just come right up into your throat, and you'll think the whole world's over. No, where's your joy and rejoicing? In the Word.
Amen.
And thy Word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart.
Amen.
And let me tell you, friend, you better get your name right.
We're not the 602 Oak Knollers.
Amen.
We're not the Kincaid Church.
Amen.
We're not the West Church.
Amen.
Bless your heart, I'm called by the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I exalt the name of Jesus Christ. There may be some people that make fun of me and they call me, oh, he was a this or he is a that or he's a something else. I tell you what I call me. I call myself a Christian.
Amen.
I belong to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I take no other name.
Amen.
And I glory in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I refuse to glory in any other name.
Amen.
You can call me anything you please, but it's what I call me.
Amen.
That's right. He calls.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. You can call me. You can call my wife. A lot of different names is what she calls herself at Castor.
Amen.
You might say, well, her name's Belle. You might say her name's Jones. You might say her name's Smith. You might say her name's something else. She says she's Kincaid. She better not call herself anything else. She belongs to me.
Amen.
You know, I am called by thy name.
Amen.
Oh, Lord God of hosts. Listen, brother, get your rejoicing in the right place.
Amen.
Rejoice in the right name. It's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Rejoice in the right thing, the Word. And when you find His Word and you begin to eat it, oh, my friend, you can't help but rejoice.
Amen.
You know why some of you down, you haven't been eating the Word.
Amen.
You know why some of you down, you haven't been reading the promises.
Amen.
You know, one time, I read my Bible lots of times. By the year 1961, I'd read the New Testament through 60 times completely and the Old Testament 15 times completely by 1961. Doesn't count all the sermons I preached in that time. Doesn't count all the soul winning I did. I'm talking about reading through the book. I've read it that many times, and I've been around a long time since then, still reading the book. And you know, the book's been a blessing to my heart. I look back on it, oh, what a blessing it is. One of the times when I read through the book, I took a green pen, because I generally use black, I generally use red. I took a green pen, and I went from the Bible, from the very first of the Bible, all the way to the last of the Bible. And I took that Bible I had, and every time I found a promise,
yeah, amen,
I marked it in green.
Amen.
And then I'd take, when I get a down day, when the old devil would start laying something on me, when depression would hit me, I'd take that old Bible out of my shelf. I didn't use it all the time, but I'd take it out of a shelf and I'd read nothing but green on those days. Just green. Just
amen.
Green. Just green.
Amen.
Just green. Amen. Just green. Woo! I'd walk out of there saying, hallelujah! Glory to God! Woo! Look at the promises of God! I'd take that old Bible out and read green! Read green! Read green! You know what you need to do sometime? Take the book and read green!
Amen.
Look for the promises, bless your heart. Eat the book!
Amen.
It'll be a blessing to your heart.
Amen.
Turn to Daniel chapter 2 and verse 34. Oh, I'm rejoicing. My old voice is about gone. I can't hardly sing. And there's a whole lot of other things going wrong with me. I turned 50 and fell apart. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
That makes my hope more in the spiritual things than it ever was before. I'm so fleshly and carnal, it's hard to keep me spiritual. So God's got to break the flesh so that the spirit can live. Amen?
Amen?
Well, you know what? I'm looking forward to something. It says in verse 34, thou sawest till a stone was cut out without hands.
Amen.
Which smote the image upon his feet that Amen. Were of iron and clay and brake them to pieces.
Amen.
Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold. All these kingdoms. Everything from Rome in its last days, all the way back to the Greeks and the Persians, to Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon, and all that comes from Babylon. All of it together at one time is smashed. It says, then he break them to pieces.
Amen.
Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor. Just
Amen.
Blew away.
Amen.
And the wind carried them away and no place was found for them. They're gone, brother.
That's right.
I rejoice because this stinking, rotten world system is going to disappear
Amen.
Like a little bit of chaff in front of a 40-mile-an-hour wind. They're going to come in and blow. And everything's going. It's all going to go.
Amen.
Then what he says, the wind carried them away that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain.
Yes.
Filled the whole earth.
Amen.
I'm looking for a kingdom.
Amen.
I'm looking for a kingdom. Jesus Christ is the King. Look what it says in verse 44. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed.
Amen.
And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Jesus Christ came the first time as a meek and lowly person, as a sacrifice, as the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. But I want you to know, when he ascended to heaven, he assumed his glory. Take a look at him in Revelation chapter 1. He's no longer a meek lamb, my friend.
Right,
now the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the greatest king that has ever lived or ever shall live, is going to come back as absolute ruler of all the world.
Amen.
Every kingdom out there is going to be crushed under him. I want you to understand, they're going to be smashed to pieces and blown away.
Amen. Amen.
I rejoice.
Amen.
Oh, you keep wondering this. Will the world ever be right? Oh, yes, sir, brother. It's going to be right.
Amen. Amen.
Will the wrongs ever be straightened out? Yes, sir, brother. The wrongs are going to be straightened out.
Amen.
Will any inequalities ever be taken care of? Yes. Hallelujah. Just right around the door, there's a 1,000-year reign of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, when justice and righteousness and love and everything that's right is going to reign.
Amen.
Oh, I want you to know, you're worried about pollution. You're worried about the world. You're worried about the things that are happening out there. It's all going to be turned around when Jesus comes again.
Amen.
And I'm looking for his coming.
Amen.
I rejoice many, many days. I rejoice in the coming of my Savior.
Amen.
Praise his name. Take you out the book of the Lord and read. None of these shall fail.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Just an interesting thought about the King that is coming and his kingdom. If you remember in chapter 1, after each day it says that the evening and the morning were the first day, and the evening and the morning were the second day, and so forth. You get down to verse 31, chapter 1, it says, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. But if you look at the seventh day, it says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Never says anything about coming to an end. This is a picture of the kingdom.
Amen.
That he's promised us. And you know, it's a marvelous thing, really. There'll be no end to it. I can't understand eternity. There's a few things that I... there's a lot of things I can't understand. But there's some things that I can't even comprehend. I mean, I can't even begin to imagine. And one of them's eternity. But you know, that kingdom will never have an end. That stone that was cut out of the mountain of that
Amen.
Is going to fill the whole earth.
Amen.
He says in that day that no man will have to say to his neighbor, know the Lord.
Yeah.
Lord, every man will know the Lord. Can
Amen.
You imagine that, Willie? Yeah. Can you imagine?
Listen. You have a job, brother.
Yeah, right.
Did you know that there are very few people that know the Lord now?
Yeah.
Very few people. I mean, comparatively speaking, very few. But it says in that day, you won't be able to tell anybody, I want you to know the Lord. Oh, I want to know the Lord.
Yeah.
Why? Because he's going to be, the mountain's going to fill the whole earth.
Amen.
And that kingdom will never have an end.
Amen.
Everything we know has an end. Comes to an end. That's why we shouldn't put our hope in that confidence.
Amen.
Hang here.
Amen.
I tell you, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink.
Amen.
But it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I tell you what, we're learning some things, aren't we?
Amen.
We're learning what it means to live in the kingdom that he's promised us. And so many Christians today are all confused. They think they're Jews. I was taught when I was a Baptist, you know, that the Jews lost out, and now we're the Jews. I'm not a Jew.
Amen.
I never was a Jew, and never will be a Jew.
That's right.
I'm a Christian.
Amen.
And you know, I can't understand that kind of a foggy reason, you know. They take all their promises, but don't want any of their curses.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen.
Well, I don't want their promises or their curses either
Amen.
One. I tell you, what I've got is a whole lot better.
Amen.
God promised him an earth, but he promised me an eternity.
Amen.
Amen.
Theirs is all bound up with the things that are here on this earth and in a time scale. Mine is not bound up by any limit.
Amen.
I tell you, his promise is no limit for us. But that kingdom is coming.
Hallelujah.
It really is.
Hallelujah.
The rocks ought to have been cut out, hadn't it?
Amen.
2,000 years ago, God cut out a rock without hands. And that rock's already been rolling for 2,000 years.
Amen.
And one of these is going to hit that old image, and it's going to fall. I mean, that's all. Like Lindell said, that's all of these kingdoms. I don't know what you think about politics or kings and all of these things, you know. But, you know, they don't mount a thing in the world. They don't mount a hill of beans. You know, this doesn't have anything to do with what we're talking about. But so many people get so wound up in politics, really. And to me, it's a shame.
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying you oughtn't to vote. But then we're not called to be politicians. We're not called to elect anybody to be president of anything.
Amen.
You know what? A guy told me one time, I asked him if he had voted. He said, no. Said, I quit voting a long time ago. Said, I just voted twice, and both times I voted against God, so I quit. He was an old-fashioned believer that God sets up and puts down. And he said, I just voted twice, and I voted against God both times. But what I'm saying is that we are not interested in the things of this world.
Amen.
I went to Mexico, and for 13 years, I tried to make Mexico better. I went down as a social missionary. I really did. I was taught and trained, you know, that missionaries are doctors or they're lawyers or they're teachers or they're farmers or they're something, you know. They do something to make the world a better place in which to live. And so for 13 years, we tried to make better Mexicans and better Mexico. And I don't think I did a thing in the world to waste 13 years. I won't say that because God uses all things. I realize that. He used that to teach me a lot of lessons. But you know what? I learned one thing. You're not going to make this a better world.
Amen.
World's not getting any better.
Right.
And if all of God's people were to get together and try to do something, it wouldn't help a thing in the world. It's going downhill.
Right.
And I mentioned this once before, but some of you weren't here, so I'll tell it again. I just had this thought one time, you know, about what we're here for. If I came home one night and my house was on fire, I'm just as sure as the world that I wouldn't go in and start straightening up the pictures on the wall.
Mm.
I wouldn't go in and start rearranging the furniture. I wouldn't even go in and start trying to sweep or mop the thing. I would just get what I could, the valuable things, and get out.
Amen.
The world's on fire.
Amen.
And you know, God's people are so funny. We're trying to straighten the world up. We're trying to rearrange it. We're trying to make it a little bit nicer place. And it's on fire. It's burning up.
Amen.
And a lot of people don't realize that. They actually think that we're going to make a better world. Well, you know, we've got something that's a lot better than this world anyway.
Amen.
All we're doing is just getting ready. And we're trying to get some people ready to go with us.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord
Jesus.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. You know, it says there in 2 Corinthians, I was reading this tonight before I came to church. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 1, Paul's talking here, and he's talking about a couple of things. He's talking about the comfort of God. He's talking about his condition and the condition of the believers he's writing to. And he says something interesting in the. I'd like to start reading in verse 8. He says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. For we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us."
Amen.
And you know, that verse 10 has been a real blessing to me over the years that I've been a Christian, because it's let me know one thing. It's let me know that no matter how dark my situation can be, it's let me know that no matter how dark that I may seem to be, how low I may seem to get, where I can't even see the way out, if I can see the way out at all, whether I can even see a light at the end of a tunnel, it doesn't matter, because if I just put my eyes and look either behind me, right where I am, or in front of me, you know what I'm going to see? I'm going to see God's deliverance.
Amen.
And you know, Paul says here, he says, "Who delivered us from so great a death,
amen,
and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us."
Amen.
Man, what a testimony, you know?
Amen.
He's delivered us in the past. Yeah, I can think back to the day when he delivered me from my sins. I can think back to a time, and I can think right now, just in the present time,
time, every day, he delivers me.
Amen.
And even though I might not be able to think of, on a particular day, of some great, you know, spine-tingling incident that may have happened to me that the Lord delivered me from, I know by his word, when he says that his mercies are new every morning,
Amen.
I know that that talks about God's deliverance.
Amen.
Because I know that I couldn't keep myself in Christ for one single day.
That's right.
Amen. And you know, I know one day he's going to deliver me out of this body of flesh. And he's going to deliver me out of this old world, and he's going to take me to glory. And I ain't going to have to worry about anything anymore but holding his face and praising his name.
Amen.
And just waiting for him to say something.
Hallelujah.
Brian, do it, and I'll go do it.
Amen.
No more having to worry about, oh, wonder what's the will of God for me, you know? I got two ways, you know, which way should I go? You know, I got, man, I need to make some decisions. I'm not going to have no responsibility to make any decisions because all I'm going to have to do is do what he tells me to do.
Amen.
And that's a blessing to me. All right, I'd like you to turn to Exodus. I just picked out a couple of things in the Bible that are real blessings that really confirm and really show and clear God's deliverance, you know? It says there back in Corinthians, I don't want to misquote it. Where was I reading from? Anybody remember?
Second Corinthians 1:10.
I knew it was somewhere around there. Somewhere in the New Testament. He says, but we have the sentence of death in ourselves. Verse 10. He says, who delivered us from so great a death. You know, God did deliver us from so great a day.
Amen.
You know, I don't know, you know, I know some of you, and I know some of you in here tonight are Christians, and most of you are Christians, but you know, one of the most blessed things that a Christian could ever look back is the time that God delivered him.
Amen.
And, you know, some of us have got, I've heard some testimonies around this church, you know, and some of them are pretty wild. But you know, I've heard of some others too, and you know, those are some of them. You know, people flock to listen to some people's testimonies, you know, because you think of all these things that they used to be and the things that they are now, and all this and that. And then other people, you know, their testimony takes, you know, 5 minutes. I was lost, and I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I was saved. You know,
Amen.
That's about the extent of it. But you know, no matter what, they're both so beautiful.
Amen.
Because at one time they were both in darkness,
Amen.
And at one time we were all in darkness.
Yes.
Oh, if we were in the flesh tonight, think of what kind of a meeting this would be. If we were all in the flesh, without God, without hope in the world, without anything, do you think, is there any way that we, you know what we'd be having? We'd be having what we used to call, when I was taking psychology class, we used to call it a rap session.
Yeah.
We'd all be sitting around and telling each other our problems, and one guy'd stand up and tell all his problems and tell how bad he's got it. We'd all pat him on the back and say, it's all right, you know. And the next person, you know, we'd all be so depressed.
Yeah,
but you know, we don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
We don't have to worry about that because we got something to brag on that goes so far
Amen.
Above our comprehension, that goes so far above what we can even understand and think.
Lord Jesus.
And I was reading a while ago, I guess it was a couple of months ago, I was reading through the book of Exodus, and I was following Moses through in his experience with Pharaoh. And you know, I was getting pretty frustrated. I was alone, and there was nothing to distract me, so I was really getting into the word. I was really starting to experience with Moses, wondering, just, you know, thinking sometimes how he must have felt to have to go up to Pharaoh repeatedly, time after time, and said, let our people go, you know? What was that? It's a penny, brother.
I remember.
He says, he goes back there, and time after time, you know, he'd go to Pharaoh. He'd go to Pharaoh and say, oh, Pharaoh, said, you got to let our people go. He says, God says to let our people go. And Pharaoh said, no, I'm not going to do it. Well, if you're not going to do it, I'm going to have to send a plague on you. And he sends all kinds of terrible things upon the people of Egypt and upon Pharaoh. And I mean, he sends frogs and flies and lice and dust and blood, water, and just all kinds of mess. And I was thinking, number one, how impatient Moses must have been, and how frustrated he must have been, and how stupid Pharaoh must have been.
Amen.
To continually, after the plague, you know, I read time after time, Moses came up to him and said, and after the plague was over, he'd come and he'd treat Moses, and he says, please tell God to get rid of this thing, and I'm going to let your people go. But you know, Pharaoh was just a type of the world. They don't care nothing about their immediate existence. Their immediate comfort is the most important thing to them.
That's right. That's
and as long as he had his immediate comfort taken care of, once he was comforted in the flesh, then he didn't care anymore about the people of God. And I was following Moses through this, and I figured, and I'd read the story before, so I knew it was going to happen, but I pretended in my mind that I didn't, so I could have some anticipation as I was reading it. And I said, man, Moses must have been getting ready to do something big. You know, God must have really been getting ready to do something to Pharaoh. You know, it wasn't a lightning strike on the head, and it wasn't a great old clap of thunder or anything like that. It was something that each and every one of us have to face, and we face, number one, death. And we face, number two, escape from that death. And if we refuse escape from that death, then we've got to face death all over again. And you know, it says there, what had happened, you all read the story before how God had told Pharaoh through Moses that he said that the firstborn of every house in the land of Egypt was going to die. And that there was only one way of deliverance, and that was the blood on the doorposts. And the blood on the sides of the doors. And that was the only way that they could get delivered. And he had specific instructions for how it was to be done. And the children of Israel prepared themselves. And they were delivered. And it says there in verse 29. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. From the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And we could have stopped there. We could stop the story right now. We could say, oh, what a terrible thing. You know, what a terrible thing that this thing could actually happen. That people could actually have hearts so hard that they'd have to go through something like this. Moses, verse 31, and Aaron by night says, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go and serve the Lord as you have said. Also, take your flocks and your herds as you have said. And I like that. He says, and be gone. He says, be gone. Get out of here. And he blessed me also. And you know, one thing that they did, they marched right out of the land of Egypt. It's a type of the Christian. It's a type of the Christian. Now, when God saves you, he says, he plucks you up out of this old dirty world, and he sets you in Christ.
Amen.
You're no longer a part of this world. In fact, this world isn't our home anymore.
Hallelujah.
We're not dwelling in Egypt anymore. We may be on our way through the wilderness, or maybe we may be in a promised land, but I tell you what, we're on our way.
Amen.
We're on our way. Not for, we can live in the promised land here on this life, but we're on our way to something better. Something that Abraham called a better country. You know, and I'm waiting for that country. But I'm glad when I look back. It was dark. Yeah, it was dark. And it's neat. And I'm sure that a lot of people that were witnessing to me got frustrated. And I can think of people that I'm dealing with right now that I get frustrated day after day talking to them. These guys are going to never get saved. But you know what I joy in is the fact that one day I did, and that gives me hope that one day they might too. And I praise the Lord for that. You know, God delivered them, and it was a great deliverance. If you've never read the story of the children of Israel being delivered out of the land of Egypt,
amen,
you ought to read it.
Glory to
God. It's a fantastic story,
amen,
of deliverance.
Amen.
But he says back there in Corinthians, you know, it wasn't just the fact that he did deliver us back there, and then he left us on our own, you know. It isn't the fact that he put us on the, he plucked us up out of the water, and he set us down on the beach all wet and all dripping, and he says, okay, he says, go your way, do your own thing. I'm glad that it says there in that verse in 2 Corinthians, it says that he does deliver.
Amen.
It says, who delivered us from so great a death. You know, the Bible says, how should we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? We got so great a death, but oh, we got so great a salvation too. You know, if we take that so great a salvation, we're not going to have that so great a death, you know?
That's right.
He says, he does deliver.
Amen.
That's one of the blessings about God, is he just doesn't leave us on our own.
Hallelujah.
He delivers.
Amen.
Day by day.
Praise
by day. You know, I can think back to the book of Daniel. I can think of three guys. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I can think about them and turn to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. It says, Shadrach, Meshach,
and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter.
Right.
You know what they were talking about is that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, because they had refused to bow down their knee to idolatry, because they had refused to bow down to the pressures of the kingdom, Nebuchadnezzar had threatened death upon them, and he said, look, this is what I want you to do. I don't care if you are Hebrew children. I want you to do this. If you don't, you're going to get burned. Well, they said this back to the king. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. You know, one thing that's always been a blessing to me about that verse right there is that the primary purpose, the primary thinking of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wasn't to stay out of that fire.
That's right.
You know, they didn't want just to stay out of that fire. You know, you find a lot of people, you can tell Christians pretty quick when the heat gets on.
Yeah.
You know, I had this one guy one time about a year ago, you know, he got saved and he was all ready. He said, let's go. He says, you know, I want to learn about the Lord. I want to serve the Lord. And so we were in a truck. We were in my pickup truck, and we pulled up to a bus stop, and I shouted out the window, praise the Lord. And there were two guys at the bus stop right there just waiting, and they were looking at us, you know, and I said, hey, run out and give those two guys a track real quick. And he got down on the floor of my pickup truck.
No, man, that's too much.
You know, we got out to go witness in, and it turned out he just melted. But I found out later on he really didn't have assurance of salvation. He had just made some kind of a mouth profession just to please me, you know. Just to please me and maybe hoping that I'd give him a little bit of a handout or something. But you know, God gives strength inside our soul. We come against circumstances, we don't have to worry particularly about that physical escape. You know, if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if they were to get burned, well, they were going to get burned. The thing that consumed them most was obedience to God.
Amen.
And that's such a thing that's a blessing to me, is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because God daily, and they knew that God daily could deliver them, they could stand up in the face of a fire, they could stand up before a great king, Nebuchadnezzar, and they could say, we don't care what you do, we don't care what you do, we're going to get delivered.
Amen.
You know, even if it wasn't that he was going to deliver him from the fire, they were confident that God was going to either pull him through to the end or pull him through to death and take him home or something.
That's
but
right.
God had it
Amen.
Under control. You know, we might be in some dark times in this life. We might get some times we don't really think that there's any way or out. But we can just take God's word, the fact, just like you were saying. God's word, not
Amen.
Our feelings. But God's word that God can deliver us. And then even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow down to idolatry. We're not going to compromise with the world in order to get our point across, in order to make our church grow. We don't have to fear about doing any of those things. All we've got to do is worry about following our Lord
Amen.
Jesus. And let him worry about the delivering.
Amen.
You know, it says also, it says that he doth deliver us, and that's day by day, hour by hour. But it also is in whom we trust, that he will yet deliver us.
Amen.
You know, now this is really where faith steps in, because they could look back and they could see a time in their life, yes, God did deliver me. And they could look back at their present situation and say, yeah, we were distressed even of life. We had the sentence of death in ourselves, but God delivered us, and we're sure that he's going to deliver us again if we get in the same situation. But he also says, and we trust that he will yet deliver us.
Amen.
Now, Paul could have been talking about some future incidences or something, but I believe also there's a connotation there that he's going to deliver us right on into glory.
Amen.
He's going to deliver us. You know, I got a boss at work, you know, and he gives me paperwork in the mornings or the night before when I got to go on a run. And when I go on a run, he gives me all these trip manifests, and he said, look, there's your trip manifest. There's your destination. He says, I'll call the customer and tell him you'll be there at 3 o'clock. And I said, fine. And he forgets all about it. He calls the customer and lets him know I'm going to be there at 3. You know, if he was anything, if he didn't have any kind of trust in me, he'd say, well, think you can get there? You know, you're not going to have any problems along the way, all this and that. And he'd be checking and thinking and checking and thinking. You know, we got such an assurance of God. Because we've got God that one day He's going to pick us up and He's going to take us in the twinkling of an eye. There's going to be no gears to change in that thing because He's going to shoot us straight up.
Amen.
And He's going to deliver us from earth to heaven to glory to
Amen.
Be with Him forever.
Amen.
And there's going to be no flat tires out of the way. There's going to be nothing that we've got to worry about that's going to stop us from getting from here to there.
Amen.
We don't have to try to drive ourselves, you know. We don't have to try to do anything. Because the Bible says that He's going to deliver us.
Amen.
All we've got to do is follow Him.
Amen.
Now, if He's washed us in His blood, and we're saved here tonight, who is it that does the delivering? It's not us, is it?
That's right.
It's God.
Amen.
So praise God. He's delivered me. He's delivering me every day.
Amen.
And He's going to deliver me right on.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Look at Philippians chapter 4. We've had some good preaching for the last couple of meetings. There's no doubt. I don't mean to say anything against the preachers we had this morning, but you know what the biggest blessing was to me out of this morning's meeting? You know what blessed me the most was not what somebody said. The blessing I got, the biggest blessing I got out of this morning's meeting was Victor Anglo sitting right over
Amen.
There. Some of you people don't know how long he's been gone from us or some of the things that separated us, but you know, it was just so good to see him back just for one meeting.
Amen.
And if he doesn't come back again, I praise God, but I praise God that he came back and visited us again and that he was sitting right over there. And I just sat there through that whole meeting this morning just kind of stealing a glance over there and thinking, ah, thank you, Lord, for bringing that brother back. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, God. Just work it out. Just iron it all out, Lord. Just open the doors and just bless there, you know? And that was the biggest blessing to me out of this morning's meeting. But I'm going to read you a verse here. In Philippians chapter 4, it says, be careful for nothing. Verse 6. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your minds and your hearts, or your hearts and your minds, through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have heard and which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You know, we live a life of a constant balancing. Because we have, it's a constant battle. We have a flesh that lusts against our spirit, and we have a spirit that desires to do the will of God, and it's almost like a battle within us. Matter of fact, it is a battle within us. And Paul describes that battle in Romans chapter 7. And every day when we get up, we got this fight going. And every day the spirit desires, or the flesh desires to drag us down, and the spirit desires to soar, and probably 99 to 100% of the time the flesh wins. Hands down, boom, before 8 o'clock in the morning. But you know, here it says, Linda always tells me, you don't worry enough. You don't even care about it, you know? There's something you gotta worry about. It used to be, she told me I worried too much, you know? It used to be she was gone 5 minutes too long and I was on the phone calling everywhere I could trying to figure out where she was. Now she says, you don't care anymore. You don't even care about the bills. You don't even care about whether or not you get a better job. You don't even care. I think, yeah, that's probably about the truth, you know? I really just don't care. But you know, there's a beautiful promise here. And this verse is the heart of our Thanksgiving meeting. This verse is it. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God.
Amen.
We do not have a God that is limited in any fashion but by the limitations that we put on Him. By the limitations of our prayer and what we ask. I thank God for a man named Brother Crockett one time who took Jeremiah 33:3, where it says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And he took that verse in hand and struck out without any support to start the very first Christian serviceman center that I know about. And it was as a direct result of that man's ministry that I was saved. I thank God for that man back in the past.
Amen.
But you know what that guy did? He decided one time, I'm going to take God at His word, and I'm going to pray that prayer, and I'm going to look for the answer to it. Now, you know, the thing is We went through a whole year since our last Thanksgiving meeting, and I cannot even recall, if I sat down and tried to, all the things God has blessed you with.
Right.
All the things God has blessed me with.
Amen.
I look and I think of Diane and Judy's mother was sick, and we were praying for her for so long, and God healed her and raised her up. And God's blessed us in so many ways. And there's no doubt we've had some good preaching, but you know, I'd like to take a time right now, and I'd like to just take a time where we can stand up without any preaching. You don't even need to share a verse. If you don't have a verse laid out, you don't need it. All you need to do is you need to look back, because, you know, it's wonderful to reflect on the fact that God can take us through troubles and tribulations and can keep us safe and deliver us. It's wonderful to think about that fantastic faith we have. But you know what we're here to do? We are here to thank God.
Amen.
And I'd like to think back for a minute while I thank God for some things, on some of the things that you prayed for, that you ask for, because he says, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Our problem is, we ask and we receive and we don't thank.
That's right.
That's the truth. Our problem is, we get so many blessings from God that we never bother thanking for, because we forgot that we asked Him. Or because we think that it worked out through the workings of man instead of through the workings of God. And we fail to ask that from God. I was talking to Linda the other day, and we were talking, and we thought, you know, we haven't gone out in a long time. We haven't spent time with anybody in a long time, you know. I thought, I wonder why that is, and we finally decided it's because we like each other too much. We'd rather just be with ourselves than anybody else. She really has become the best friend I have in the whole world. And I'm sure it wasn't that way when we were first married. Matter of fact, I know it wasn't. It wasn't that. It's a thing that God has grown and matured over the last 3 years, and it was just the other day I was realizing, you know, she's the best friend I have in the whole world. I would rather spend time with my wife at home alone. And everybody said, well, why don't you come out and do this? No, I'm going to go home and spend time with my wife. Well, we got this going on at work. Sorry about that. You know, I was out last night and I was out the night before. I'm going to go home tonight and spend time with my wife. Thinking, man, that's crazy. No, that's not. That's the best friend I have in the whole world. And I thank God for her.
Amen.
You know, there was a time when I look back and we were in some financial straits and things were hitting the bottom. And when, man, there's just no doubt about it, when money's not flowing in, man, it's hard to have a good marriage when there's just no money coming. When the finances are bad, it's hard to look at each other and say, yeah, I trust you and I trust God, you know, and I love you. It's hard. Yeah. When something like that goes wrong, every little thing trips off an argument. And I can look back at a time in our marriage like that a couple of years ago, and I look at it now and I think, man, how God is blessed.
Amen.
God really gave me, I think, the best wife in the whole world. And God has really blessed our marriage. And you know what else? The doctors told us we would probably never have a child. But my wife is pregnant and due here within a week.
Amen.
God has blessed me, brethren. God has just answered prayers you wouldn't even believe. You know, we were living in, most of y'all remember the country yacht. This little three-bedroom trailer that where all the bedrooms are stacked on top of each other at one end, you know. It's the most unusual thing. I like the way that thing is laid out, but that thing was so much of a hassle to me. It is as old as it was made the same year I was, 1961. And you know, I don't know why I survived so well and it did so bad. But you know, it just seems there's a leak here that's got to be fixed. And when we move it, the roof's got to be fixed. And the windows seem to have a lot of air spaces around them. And the plumbing goes bad here. And I blow out the water heater because I don't know what I'm doing with the wiring, you know. And one thing and another, I just seem always to be working on that thing. I could never get away from it. But you know what God did in this last year? God answered prayer.
Amen.
We asked the Lord for a house in town. And we said, Lord, if it's your will, we're going to try for it. If it's your will, then that'll be it. And you work it out, and we're not going to push it. And if it happens, it happens. We praise you for it. And He let it happen.
Amen.
Now, you know, I know, I look around at the guys that I work with and the guys who dig ditches with me, and almost every one of them rents a house or an apartment. You know how many of those guys, it's just such a small percentage of them who actually own a house. And if they do, it's in a bad section of town or a low section of town that I wouldn't want to raise my children in. But I look at the way that God took a lowly, uneducated ditch digger and blessed him.
Amen.
And you know, I don't deserve it any more than anybody else. I didn't do anything to get it. I just asked God, and he looked down and he said, son, I love you, and I'm going to do that for you. And I thank God he blessed me that way. You know, I look back over the last year, and I think of some of my brothers that were down, and some of the things that they were going through, and some of the times that we prayed for them. You know, I think of some of the things that I went through, and some of the people who comforted me. You know, you never know when you're sometimes you're comforting somebody and you don't even realize it. Sometimes, you know, sometimes you just happen to be there, and the Lord just runs you into them, and boom, there you are, and you're blessed to them. You know, I'd come into McDonald's in the morning, and man, I hated working at McDonald's. I just couldn't stand it. The hours were far too early in the morning for me, and the pay was far too low, and the place was far too bad. And I'd come in the morning, and Danny'd walk in and say, praise the Lord, brother, good to see you this morning. Oh, all right, praise the Lord. Well, let's get this thing going here. And we'd start getting this and that and the next thing going. And on that cold winter morning, we'd come in there, and I mean, there's nobody else. Everybody else called in sick because they didn't feel like getting out in the morning is what the truth of the matter was. And Danny'd come in, and he'd bless me. He'd pick me up when I was down. Man, I think sometimes when Eddie just called me up, or we'd just go out for a cup of coffee or something. Some of you other brothers, Brother Jeff's been more of a blessing to me than he knows. He's the most hospitable brother I know just about. I mean, his house is just always open, man. Every time I need a tool, he seems to have every tool under the sun. If he doesn't have it, he borrows it from somebody and gives it to me, you know. Every time something breaks down, I just take it out there and plop it in the garage or the barn, and eventually I get out there and fix it again, and I don't know how much of my junk is left out of his house, but you're a blessing to me, brother. And sometimes when I was down, I mean, the Lord just used you to bless me. And I mean, God has just blessed me. I cannot even begin to fathom the magnitude. And I'm not talking about spiritual blessings. I'm talking about physical blessings. I'm talking about blessings that get me through everyday bump and grind of life when it just seems like you can't go anymore, and God just reaches down with an ice cream blessing. And I mean, he doesn't just pick you up and put you down where you need to be. He picks you up, loads you down with a ton of groceries, and sets you on your way. I mean, he picks you up and blesses you, just magnificently blesses you, and sends you on your way, and walks with you every step of the way. It's not just that that I needed a house in town. It's not that that's just what I wanted. It's that that's what I wanted, and God blessed me with a fantastic house. It's not just that I needed a job, but God blessed me with a fantastic job. It's not just that I wanted a wife, but God blessed me with a fantastic wife. You know, Eddie used to tell me all the time when we were in Germany. He's got something, you know, he knew me a long time, and we went through some things here. He's got something, he laughed about it. He says, when your baby's born, I'm going to tell everybody about this. I know what it is, but it's something that I said or did sometime. But you know, he used to tell me all the time. He used to tell me, man, you want to be married worse than anybody I know. You want to be married and have kids more than anybody I know. And I said, yeah, you're absolutely right. That's what I want out of life. I want to be a married man and have kids. I'm a family kind of guy. I don't like the single life, and I don't like running around out here all by myself. And when God blessed me, he didn't just stick me with a wife.
Amen.
He gave me a wife and the family I love the most, besides my own. And the family I respected the most, a family with lineage of great preachers. And he gave me a spiritual woman who followed after the blessing of God. He didn't just bless me. He made the cake and iced it, man. I mean, did you see that three-layer chocolate cake in the kitchen the other day? Oh, man, it was beautiful. By the time I got back for dessert, it was gone, man. But this thing had three layers of chocolate cake, and there was about that much frosting in between each layer, and there was about that much frosting all the way around the outside of it. I don't know who made the frosting for that thing, but I mean, they must have made a gallon of frosting for that cake, because it was just all over it. And I thought, you know, when I saw that thing, that's the way God blesses.
Amen.
And that's the way God blessed me. And if you think back on it, that's the way God blessed you too.
Amen.
And we're here, I mean, you know, even the kids got blessings from God. And even the old people got blessings from God. And there's so many of us who haven't stood up and said anything in any of these meetings whose God has blessed in the daily matter.
Amen.
I'm not talking about big spiritual. I'm talking about the daily things that you didn't want to worry about, so you prayed about, and God answered, even when you were too stupid to quit worrying. Amen. Truth of the matter is.
Amen.
Truth be told. And you need to stand up and just tell us about it.
Amen.
And thank God for some of those things.
Amen.
I think of months when the bill couldn't be met, and God met them anyway.
Amen.
I think of months when we thought we couldn't make the bills, and we bought new clothes, and we bought parts for the car, and we bought things for the house, and we paid the bills, and we paid the groceries, and gave money to the Lord. I'm talking about God blessed us.
Amen.
I mean, I just stand here. I think I'm the most blessed man in all the world tonight. I don't think there's anybody else blessed. Now, you may think you're blessed more than me, but from my point of view, I don't see how you possibly could be, because I am sitting pretty tonight. I don't think I got anything I can complain about. When I really look at it, I don't have a thing I can complain about when I look at my blessing. Because anything that is negative is so far outweighed. I'm not talking about on an eternal scale. I'm talking about on a scale just in this life. I mean, if I balance it out on an eternal scale, I mean, whew, my mind, the circuits would just blow, you know. But I mean, just in this life, if I weighed all the negative things against the blessings, I have nothing to complain
about.
And I have everything to be thankful
Amen.
For. And I'd like to take your time and just give us an opportunity to stand up. You don't have to share a verse, and you don't have to preach. You just stand up and thank God for something that He's done for you in your life.
If you're like me, you got empty chairs. I got all the things I can be thankful for. And most of you know that we missionaries, we live in Mexico on a offering basis. We don't have any kind of salary. Nothing promised to us. And so some months are low, some months are high, some months are regular, but we never know what we're going to get, you know? And so I'm thankful that several times when I had several things that had to be paid for, several commitments already made, and not that I wanted everything that had to be done. Bills and things that came up, and I asked the Lord, we need the money. It's got to be paid. We can't back out. It's got to be paid, you know? Met the need.
Amen.
I remember one time, maybe a couple years ago, I don't remember, but it was around December, January, when you had to pay your income tax, and that year I was foolish and I didn't pay that quarterly payment, you know. And so at the end of the year I owed $500, and I thought, I'm in trouble now. I'm gonna pay that. I'm gonna live on, you know, bread and water the rest of the month. It's been rough. And so, and I don't even remember I prayed the Lord is probably not. I don't remember I prayed or not, but that month somebody that has never supported me before and hasn't supported me since gave me a $500 check.
Amen.
The Lord met that need. He knew I had a need, and He met that need.
Thank God.
I was able to pay my debt and live in Mexico like usual. And the Lord supplies our needs. I'm thankful that He answers prayer. Now, maybe He supplies even when we don't pray. So I'm going to pray for things, and He meets the need. He supplies the needs. And another thing I was thinking about that I can be thankful for is that I know a lot of Christians, and we run across a lot of people in Mexico and all over the place. And since I'm pretty short and look pretty young, most people treat me like a little kid. And I'm serious. You missionaries can be witness to that. People come to my door, you know, and they open the door. Hello, son, is your mom home? No, she's not. But can I take a message? Well, when she gets home, you know, I'll tell her we're still on this. You know? Oh well, I just blow it out. It doesn't bother me anymore. Just forget it. Just ignore it. And other Christians, you know, they. Hi, son. How you doing? Hi. One time I was in Oklahoma and going to my in-laws' church, and a missionary was there, and so I went up there to talk to him. You know, I went to talk about some things on ministry, and I walked up, you know, and I was like, "Hi, son. He said, what grade are you in?" I'm already graduated, you know, and now I'm a missionary. Oh, you're a missionary. Wow. That surprised him quite a bit, you know. But a lot of Christians that I know treat me like a little son, like a little child, you know. And that doesn't do much for your ego, you know. Yeah. What's your name, Dad? You know what? Tell me something else. But I'm thankful.
Praise the Lord.
You're more thankful when you get 50.
Amen.
But I'm thankful for a group of the believers and some fellow missionaries that treat me like one of them.
Amen.
They treat me like a brother. You know, Billy and Mike and Brent, they could very well treat me like their son. I'm going to meet their son. You know, Michael's how old? Michael, 12, 13? Man, well, he's almost as old as I am. They could treat me like one of them.
You're talking about Mark Jackson's middle age, I think.
They can really treat me like one of their children, but I'm there, they treat me like one of their fellow brethren, a fellow servant in Christ. We come together like brothers, not like father and son, not like uncle and nephew, but like brothers. And I'm there for all of the brothers here in the church that treat me like a brother. We don't have a person that's higher and one lower, and we can say, "Oh, how are you doing stuff today?" You know, we can say, "Hello, brother, how you doing?" And I can uplift them; they can uplift me.
That's right.
I can come here, and when they're down, I can lift them up.
Amen.
Although I look like I may not be much, but I can uplift them, and they uplift me.
Amen.
And I'm thankful for the brotherly faces we have here. We can say, "Hello, brother." I can go, "Brother Willie, hello, brother, how you doing?" Praise the Lord. And we can be like brothers.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for having a Christian family.
Amen. Amen.
And being part of this. Christ Church.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Well, we've got a lot to thank for. The Lord put us back in Mexico where we belong. He's taking care of our needs, and we praise the Lord for this body of believers who have lifted us up. I don't know if you remember, but it's been just a year ago that my dad fell in Colorado, and I was there during this conference a year ago, getting his business closed out, not knowing if he'd ever work again. Mm-hmm. And he'll be here Monday to help us build this building.
Amen.
He said he really enjoys the fellowship here, and he appreciates the prayers and the people, and he wanted to come down and just be a part of putting up this structure.
Amen.
I want to say thank you to all of you for your prayers and concern for us. But I want to say thank you to Eddie. He put up with me for a year, and I'm kind of a cantankerous old sort. But he's been a real blessing, and there's times when I want to throw the towel in, and he was there. And appreciate you, Eddie.
Amen.
Good blessing to me.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
All of y'all know that this year didn't start out too good for us, but I want to thank the Lord for Christian brothers and sisters who blessed us during a rough time in our life.
And amen.
We've had several times in our life that have just been bad years, and the Lord has seen us through them all. And I'd like to just praise the Lord for so many blessings.
Amen.
But I thank the Lord for my new daughter-in-law.
Amen.
I rejoice.
Amen.
This night that God has been so merciful to us as a family.
Yes. Amen.
We couldn't ask for any more blessings than we have. And
amen.
We don't understand some of the things He takes us through. I don't guess we'll ever understand why He took us through what He's taken us through, especially Billy and the children. But in spite of everything He's taken us through, He has added, multiplied the blessings.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
And you know, I was thinking about our missionaries. You know, we don't usually come here to church and brag on each other. And we always try and come here to brag on the Lord. And that is our main purpose. But you know, when you read the New Testament, Paul bragged on people.
Amen.
He named people who did things wrong. He named them. But he also named people who
Amen.
Were a blessing to
right.
his
Amen.
Life. So there's nothing unscriptural
Amen.
About saying that such and such a person is a blessing to you.
Amen.
And our missionaries are just a blessing
yes.
to me.
Amen.
Amen.
I have been on the mission field, and I have dealt with a lot of missionaries over our years. And you know what? We've got some faithful,
That's right.
faithful missionaries.
Yeah, amen.
Faithful missionary wives.
Yes.
Children.
Yes, amen.
When you think that we've got that many that we've sent out, some of them have come back, but they're faithful people
yes.
where they are.
Yes.
And we've come back.
Amen.
I mean, you know, we were missionaries, and we've come back from the mission field. And it's not whether you're there or whether you're here. It's whether you're faithful or not.
Amen.
And
Amen.
I rejoice in our missionaries. They've been such a blessing. But, you know, just thinking of how they've come out and worked in this new building, and they have put out so many hours
Amen.
And so much time in this new building, and they're not even going to be here hardly at all to enjoy it like we're going to be here to enjoy it all the time. They'll just be able to enjoy it every once in a while, and I just I just thank all of them for their hours and hours.
Yes.
And Brad's not here, but you know Brad's been out there every day. I could go on forever and ever. And like Mike, I could be up here all night just thanking the Lord for all of his blessings. But I'd like to say thank you, my Christian brothers and sisters, for being precious to us during this bad time that we had in our life and this rejoicing time that we've had in our life. It's been such a year that we've had so much happen that there's just no way to say how great and a glorious year it's been.
I'd like to praise the Lord for the privilege and the opportunity of being here this Thanksgiving meeting. I've been here in the other meetings. This one has really been good.
Amen.
And I've thought, you know, of all the places I go, one of the unusual things about this place and what has been such a blessing to me is the lack of harassment. You know, I don't believe everything Lynn will believe, and I don't believe everything Dale will believe. But, you know, wonderful thing about it, you know, and is that I just come here and preach and we fellowship together. Never is any harassment.
That's right.
Amen. And Lyndall never does call me and say, "Why didn't you send me a letter this month?" You know, and the church doesn't support me a great deal. Amount of money as far as that's concerned, but I told Lyndall today, I said, that's really not what's important. And that's not what counts to me. It's just the fact that some people say, you know, we love you,
amen,
we believe
amen
in you, and, you know, do what you're doing for the glory of God.
Amen.
And, you know, as a missionary, and I know most of you don't have the same experiences that I have because you don't have a great variation of churches that support you. Most of your support comes from right here. Maybe one or two other small places. But I have about 30 or 40 different churches that support me. And, you know, a lot of people, when they support you, they want to own you. You know, they want to direct you, you know, and harass you, and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And it's just been such a blessing to be here.
Amen.
And have the fellowship and the love and the appreciation. And like that little boy over there said a while ago, you know. not that high and low and ecclesiastical,
amen,
Nicolaitan hierarchy, you know, it's just brothers and sisters.
Amen.
And I tell you, that's a great blessing to me. And I appreciate Lyndall, the invitation to be here, and just enjoy the fellowship. Lord willing, God making us able, we hope to be back next year. And I just want to tell you, I'm going on tonight to San Marcos for a service in the morning and back to Houston tomorrow afternoon and back to Georgia Monday. But it's just been a real blessing. We enjoyed being with you.
Before someone else says anything, I'll let you speak in just a minute, Justin. Stay there. I was going to say something at the very beginning a while ago. Joey made the statement, that little boy over there made the statement. I was talking about his income tax. They don't pay income tax. They don't make enough money to pay income
tax.
That's right. Their Social Security tax. I wouldn't want anyone to think that they make so much money that they owe $500 because they don't make that much, and that's part of my rejoicing. They don't make much money, and they don't complain. I
amen
thank God for
amen
our missionaries.
Justin, Mom and Dad.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord.
I got something to say. You know, I'm a missionary now 10 years, and I know some people talk about how I am a strong missionary. Now, I want to tell you, I'm not a strong missionary. But let me tell you something about your missionaries. You know, they're all strong people.
Amen. Amen.
Let me tell you why. I don't know if you've noticed about, looking at other people's record on missionaries. sending out any kind of board anywhere.
You just look around. You know, most missionaries don't last 5 years.
That's right.
Amen.
Most missionaries come back.
That's right.
And I guess the reason why is because it's pretty discouraging to work alone. And we don't work completely alone. But you know, some of us do. Some of us have.
Yeah.
And yet those people are still there.
Amen.
Well, you take Adrian over there in Lagos. Well, he's alone.
That's right.
And you say, well, what are you going to do? You need to come over. Well, they say, I'm not sure exactly what, but we're going to stick it out here for a while. You know something I think about? I think about the missionaries, and I think every day. That's one thing about women's work, you know. Woman's work is never done. Well, that's one of the most discouraging things. You know, I did women's work a little while, and I can really jump on all you women who complain because I did women's work, and I also went out and preached, and we did all that stuff, you know. So
Amen.
Don't complain, okay? Y'all women, quit complaining, all right? It's not all that bad, but you know, the real discouragement about women's work is that it's never done.
Amen. That's right.
You never finish.
Amen.
You know, old Mike, you're out there digging a ditch. Well, sooner or later, the ditch is done.
That's right.
Yeah. It's finished. And, you know, you feel good. You got that done. You know, Mike's out there. He's out doing something, you know, working on a building, putting a roof up. Well, sooner or later, the roof's up. But, you know, a woman's work never done. And that's one thing, you know, we can appreciate the women for. But, you know, missionaries' work's never done.
That's
no
right.
matter how much you get.
Right.
You know, one thing, I sometimes tell the Lord, you know, Lord, well, when is it going to get to the time when I finally win? You know, I don't mind fighting, but when am I going to win? You know, when you win, you get to sit down and enjoy a Dr. Pepper or something. But you ought to get to the place where you win. You know something? You never win.
Amen.
How about these pastors, you know, day after day dealing with these. Oh man, I wouldn't want to be a pastor. I really don't like the idea of pastoring. You deal with the same people over and over on the same problem over and over. And some of you people are them people that get dealt with over and over about that problem over and over. And that pastor gets tired. And you get a pastor that's been pastoring 30 years, brethren. That's something to be thankful for.
Amen.
40 years. Boy, that's a long time to be dealing with somebody else's problems and keep on trying.
Amen.
Steve, you got your work cut out for you. Yeah, well, I'm telling you what, we got some good people. There's no mission board anywhere that's got a better record.
Yeah, right. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
And you know something? I've also met a lot of missionaries. And I'm not just gonna try to brag on ours, but let me tell you what you brothers here have. Because I'm proud of all our missionaries. I'm proud of Joy and Adrian and Dale and Marty and Mike and Susan, and I'm proud of every one of us missionaries. Brent and Janice still down there. And the reason why is because, you know, we're out there and we're preaching and we keep preaching and we keep preaching. And, you know, sometimes I get so tired and down, I don't want to go out and preach again. I preach the same message over and over and it hadn't really busted things open yet. Why do I think it's going to bust them open again? And you know something? Somebody comes by, knocks on the door and says, hey, we forgot. We got this one visit to go. That's right. We sure do. Up and go, man. There we go. And we go out visiting. And I mean, we just give. Come on down if you want to see what we do. We've already made a decision, man. You come down. We ain't going to show you Guadalajara. We're going to show you the back roads of Leon, man. We're going to show you where we preach. Man, that's one of the most blessed things. We get out there and we preach. And I'm proud that, you know, Brent, I get tired. And I say, I don't want to do it. And Brent comes over. Well, come on. Let's do it again. Let's do it again. You know, the map's not covered yet. It ain't all green. He comes over, he looks at that map and says, hey, brother, it ain't all green. We got a little green marker, you know. We're marking off the ones we've already hit, you know. Well, you know, brethren, you got something to be thankful for. There was a time, and I'm going to confess this, there was a time when I was ashamed of myself as a missionary. I'll be honest with you. And you know, I don't blame myself anymore. I understand now what I had to go through. I understand exactly where I was. And I wasn't prepared, but God did prepare me. And you know, we learned something, didn't we, Dale? You know, I was so beat by the time I decided to work with Dale. Man, anybody who decides to work with Dale had to be beaten, right? He had to be absolutely whipped. But I got down that low and I started working with him. And you know something? We went through a lot of things. We got tired, we got beat, and after a while we won. You know something?
Amen.
We did. We come out of there, and there's a church there. You
think,
that's an amazing thing. That's a blessing
Amen.
To my heart.
Amen.
These missionaries, they get out there day after day, and I see them, and I just wonder, you know, how is it possible that Joy's over here smiling? You know, I'm tired. I'm not the strong missionary, if you want to know. I'm one of these weak ones. But, you know, the Lord has been merciful and gracious, and he's kept us all there, and we're still plodding along. And, you know, I'm proud for the people here that work.
Amen.
You know, I'm proud of people like Brian, the other Brian, and Mike, and all these that go out knocking on doors.
That's right.
You know, that's so tiring.
That is so tiring. He's knocking on doors all the time, especially, you know, when we're not seeing real movement. Man, things aren't breaking loose. You know, I was telling them the other day, we were talking, and the mission, and all the missionaries got together one day, and we started talking, and I said, you know, it wouldn't be hard for me to pray if everything was busting loose and going on fire. It wouldn't be no problem at all for me to get up the nerve to get out there and preach. Get out there and bang them tambourines and say, come on out, we're going to preach the gospel or sing that song. That's no problem at all when everybody's, you know, clamoring after you, wanting to listen to you. That's really no problem. You know when it's hard is when nothing's happening. But you know something? I don't know that a whole bunch of stuff has happened. I know people that knock on doors for year after year after year and still don't get nobody.
Amen.
No, well, what else are we going to do? I might as well keep on knocking on doors. You know, this is a wonderful assembly. There's people out here that have worked their tails off, and they don't see a whole lot for it. And yet, man, they're still rejoicing and praising
Amen.
God.
Amen.
I respect every one of you in here.
Amen.
I respect every one of you that you come to a meeting on Thanksgiving Day or Thanksgiving, the day after Thanksgiving or whatever, willing to be here time after time Amen. After time.
Amen.
I'm not talking about just these super dedicated preachers and pastors. I'm talking about just normal, everyday people who work all day and then go out visiting
Amen.
At night.
Amen.
You know, that is really a blessing to me. Every time Amen. I look around, I see all you people, and I say, you know, this has been, what, 12, 14 years that guy's been coming to this church.
That's
really good.
Amen.
That's really amazing, you know.
Yeah.
I see people fall away all the time.
Yeah.
All the time I'm watching people. You know, they come and they go. And somebody new comes, and I wonder, how long is he going to last? And some of them last, you know. And you feel good.
Amen.
Man, that guy lasted, somebody else might.
Amen.
Ever so often you say, that guy did it, somebody else is going to do it too.
Amen.
I thank the Lord for all of you. I thank the Lord for the missionaries I work with that keep me up and lift me up and keep me going. Get Mike out there, man. He don't preach. And he don't sing, thank you, Lord. He really don't. But I tell you what, you know, we get out there and he says, well, let's go. And he starts passing out these tracts. He says, come on over. He don't really know how to speak it real well, but he tells them, come on out, we're going to preach the gospel. And, you know, he's out there doing it. He doesn't do all the things all the other missionaries do, but he says, okay, let's go. And we go out there and we go. And matter of fact, he's even preached.
Amen.
I'm telling you, every one of you, no matter how little your job is, boy, that blesses me. Every one of you got a ministry. Every one of you are serving the Lord. If you don't have a ministry, man, there's plenty of opportunity. I praise the Lord for the missionaries that I work with, for the people that send me letters, for the pastors here at home that are, you know, are holding the fort, for all of you people that go out knocking on doors when I know it's a discouraging, tiring thing. You know, you're not going out there just to have fun. You're not going out there for the coke you're going to get afterwards. You go out there because you're wanting to win somebody, and they don't want you, man. They really don't want to talk. And I appreciate all of you. I appreciate every Christian that served
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen.
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 You know, there's so much to be thankful for. The Lord has blessed us in so many ways.
Yes.
But I guess right now I'm thinking of some things that I'm really thankful in this last year. So, you know, I can remember going to Mom and going to her room and crying because I really wanted some good Christian friends. And the Lord sent me two Yankee girls.
Yeah.
They really strengthened me and helped
Amen.
Me out this summer.
Amen.
They were really a blessing to me.
Amen.
And I want to thank the Lord for my sister here. And how much she's helped me.
Amen.
How much she's helped me grow up. She's always been there when I needed her. She's
Amen.
Always understood. Always provoked me to love.
Amen.
I want to thank the Lord for Danny. You know, at work,
Amen.
He was always a faithful witness and always a faithful
Amen.
Testimony. And always came in and made work so much better to be in. I mean, working at McDonald's is not a whole lot of fun.